Join the lessons Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com for The Sacred Matrix, a divine paradigm of love.
I can't do this. It's like in the great stories, the ones that really mattered.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
When you take that field today, you've got to lay that heart on the line.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line.
I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch.
Yeah.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that freedom.
Will you fight
for our freedom? Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation.
This
when the world declared in one voice,
no one comes into our house, pushes us around.
Get up! We heal as a team, and we're gonna crumble.
Run! No, love.
At least a while.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. You probably know.
When we add up all those issues, that's gonna make some difference.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh yes, Journeys with JP, the 13th or 14th of July, 2014. 14714 is another one of these numbers. This is it. There's lots of these numbers that are bouncing around. 440, 660, all very interesting. 432, the speed of light, 186,000, all very interesting. And how do they relate? Why do they have these relationships? We did have Hijacker. We will have Hijacker. We did have, until recently, they'll call back. I hope they'll call back in a second and, come back online there. There you go. Oh, hang on. Somebody's called that one. No, not that one. Well, maybe hang on. Give me a second. Call. Let's see if I can call this group here. I have to call it, not you, Hijacker. What's Skype doing? Oh, now everything's going crazy. Now everything's gone ape. Drop this call, please. No, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Right, there we go. So now I can now call the group. Okay, so now we're back and we're calling. calling on Hijacker. There's Hijacker. Back in hopefully soon. Larry call in. So, Jacker, where were you?
Well, did I get to the part about the signature of the smallest particle was the sound wave?
Your signal is brilliant now. Get your point out there.
Okay, well, it's just basically two points. What I was saying, it says in the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, and God spoke, and it was. So he spoke some kind of word, and that vibration seems to have manifested the Big Bang or however you want to put it. But anyways, so scientists, they were looking for the smallest particle of the atom. You know, you got the proton, the neutron, they run around each other. And you can't see it, of course. So they use super duper microscopes, and they found that there's another smaller particle than the neutron and the proton and the atom. But it's so quick and it's so small that they couldn't see it. All they could seem to do was get its pattern, of its, the way it moved. And the one thing they noticed is that when they took the sound wave, music, and the wavelength of sound, that it matched closely to the pattern of wavelength of sound, like a sound wave.
Okay, so...
here it is, the smallest thing, turns out. And we know, like, this table that I'm at, this desk. So am I breaking up, JP?
Yeah, you started chub, back, yeah. But basically you got to the idea that the smallest particle that we find is an item of sound, that it's a resonant figure that creates what we call a standing wave. You familiar with standing waves?
Yes and no, sort of.
All right, imagine a good way of looking at a standing wave. Take a washing line, a nice long washing line, if you kind of plucked the washing line, you'd see a wave that would go... It would snake down it and snake back, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so... if you were to pluck that washing line enough, what would happen is that you'd send waves down, and waves would come back, and you'd be able to make it resonate like a swing. You know, when you push a kid on a swing, and you know the first few times you have to push quite hard to get the swing going, but once the swing is in full swing, all you need to do is give it a little push, and it'll accelerate. So once you're in tune with the resonance of that standing wave that the child is now sitting in, all you need to do is add a tiny amount more energy to get a lot more swing across. Is that, you hear what I'm saying?
Swing sets, I understand, JP, because I had 5 children in 7 years, and so sometimes I had to push swings for 4 of them. So yeah, you get the inertia, the momentum, and once you get them going, then you can just walk and tap them a little bit, and it just keep right up with it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the principle of resonance, and it's more than just momentum and inertia, because you're dealing with a frequency, and frequencies like to exist. You know, things like to vibrate when they can. You know, people like to dance when they can. People like to sing when they do. It's a joyful expression. So, letting something vibrate is a good thing, and it's an enjoyable, it's an expression of joy. So when your swings are vibrating, there's a sequence that, you know, if you can get in tune with it, and you can see when it's just about to come, and you apply it, just like the guys who spin plates. You know, they know when the plate's going to start wobbling and spinning down, so they go over and just give it a little flick, and away it goes again. And again, you're working with the energy. It's like taking a flywheel, just adding a bit more energy. The flywheel is going anyway. So.
Yeah, well, even in the opera, people being able to use sound to break glasses. And even that Japanese guy who wrote all kinds of words, you know about the experiment.
Emotso, yeah. Actually, I discovered that I've got that book. I bought it years ago, and I was unpacking some of my books the other day. I was like, oh, Masaru Emoto. Excellent.
Yeah, well, tell people about that, JP. Tell people about what you did.
The book's called The Messages from Water, and what he did, it wasn't actually necessarily to do with sound. It was more to do with the intent behind something. But he would take a little jar, two jars, and on the outside of one jar, he would write the word love in Japanese. And on the other outside of another jar, he'd write the words hate. And he'd leave it in the sun for a while to kind of infuse it, you know, because it can project some energy into it. You know, the sun's the very neutral energy, it won't affect, you know, it'll just be a neutral pattern. Anyway, what he found was that when he then subsequently froze samples of water from these two samples, what he found that when you look at the ice crystals under a microscope to the water that said love, they looked all very pretty and very ordered and organized and very beautiful and symmetrical. And the ones that came under the word hate were all kind of gnarly and rather unpleasant looking. It turns out you can do this with just about, you know, any intention, and it will seem to manifest, the pattern, of overlay. I mean, basically what you're talking about, the ice crystals are forming a pattern of the overlaying frequency energy that is imprinted onto the water. We know that water retains imprint. That's how homeopathy works. It's not about the number of molecules. It's about the imprint that the molecules have left. It leaves a frequency behind, like an echo. It's like water's more like a jelly than a liquid, really, and you can leave an impression in it. I'm sure that certain very, very high technologies could even read the impression in water. But water retains impressions, and yes, indeed, it would be very interesting. You could probably spy on somebody by placing a glass of water and then freezing the water and seeing what the crystals will tell you. There's probably going to be an entire branch of divination growing up about water crystal divining. Anyway, there's something to
make JP, website that's a good about. One. Yeah, JP, am I coming through?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. Before you marry somebody, you get a jar of water, maybe you stick it in their house, and then a couple of days later, you get it back, and you go and you freeze it, and find out that they hopefully the person's what you expect they are, so to speak. But my second story, you want to hear my second one?
Go ahead.
Am I breaking up?
No, you're good now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Admiral Byrd, supposedly he went to the center of the Earth in Antarctica, Operation High Jump. And if I do start to break up, JP, just let me know. He supposedly flew his airplane. His airplane got control of. He was taken into the hollow Earth by a disc type of craft. He came to a modern day city, very... very high-tech, so high-tech he couldn't even describe it. He talked about sophisticated trains that didn't even set down on the rails. We now know this is like maglev. Very, very high-tech place that he went to, he described. So when he was down there, he met these people, and they were all about 15 feet tall. They were giants. And... he was able to talk not only to the leader, but to a couple others. It's in his diaries, I believe. So he says, well, what do you all do here? What's your big thing? And they go, music. We're into making music. And Bird says, well, what kind of music? And he goes, well, all kinds. We just make all kinds of music. And so they were really, really into sound. They were really into music. And then we know the story. He left. And then the underground giants, the aliens or whatever, they gave his task force a really good ass whipping and drove them basically from Antarctica and says, don't come back. But now we go to 1960s. And JP, am I being heard?
Yep, you're still coming through perfectly.
Okay. So this guy wrote this book, Laurel Canyon, and he got a hold of all the big 60s, all the big groups.
This is Dave McGowan, isn't it?
Yeah, you know names. I don't know any names.
The guy who wrote the book is Dave McGowan, right?
That sounds right.
Inside the Orange County. I've read a few sections of this. He talks about the children of the military-industrial complex. This is where you're going.
Right. So how could it be? Right. My point is, how could it be, JP, that in the 60s, and I know you're about my age, and every morning you would wake up, you would hear a new group, you would hear just the variants of music, the Supremes to Tom Jones to the Beatles, Stone. I mean, it goes on. Canned Heat. One group after another. It was a magical time growing up because every day, every week, you would hear different kinds of music. And now come to find out, a lot of the Beatles didn't even write their own music. It turns out a lot of these people, they were either mind controlled and given the music, or somebody wrote it for them. And I'm just wondering, you know, because I believe these outside forces, demonic in nature, did they develop this music, knowing these rhythms, they could break us down our emotions, and, you know, we'd sit around, sex, love, rock and roll, smoke joints, and actually use music to break up a society? Go ahead, JP.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
exactly what happened. It all came out of Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute was designed to break up humanity and take control over the planet, and most of the rock and roll, like you said, it was the sons and daughters of the military-industrial complex. Jim Morrison's dad ran the Navy, and he was responsible for the Gulf of Tonkin, and, I mean, so many of them were involved in all of that, and they had intimate knowledge of all of that.
So it's very interesting. You talk about the Tavistock. I used to work down the road from there in the University College London. So, yes, Hollow Earth people, Talosians. I just watched with my girlfriend over the weekend. We did a classic Star Trek evening, and we watched our first ever Star Trek, which was like the pilot episode before even Captain Kirk, when it was Captain Pike, and it was Spock. He was there, and number one was Majel Barrett, who became the computer, and then Nurse Chapel as well, and the Talosians had the power of illusion. They could put into your mind what your deepest desires or your greatest fears were. And it's this classic, you know, these guys with a big pumpkin head with the bulging veins. Excellent, excellent. I mean, all of the sounds of Star Trek that you know and love were in this one first pilot episode. But they just didn't have the graphics then or the special effects. But it was really good. Excellent stuff. Have you seen that one recently?
Yeah, well, you know, Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry's real genius, JP, is he was actually able to imagination with cheap budget. I think none of them spent more than $1 million on either episode. But he's able to tap into a person's mind and imagination and fill in the blanks, you know. That was really his genius, so to speak. But you know, people say the mind, the brain is the largest sexual organ. They say the mind works off frequencies. You can actually like talk radio. You know, we talk back and forth, JP, and I know you know voices real well. You can read the rays of people's voices. You read. You told me mine one time, blew my mind. But there's a difference between the talk radio and like a FM station where really music almost is a mood controlled, mind controlled environment, JP. And also your other guest, he seems to know quite a bit. What's your other guest's name, JP?
This is Larry.
Larry.
Larry. I'm also known as a practical madman. I haven't been on the chat in a while, but I was usually a practical madman in the chat.
Thing is that I'd like to address a question that was asked in the first hour by, someone in the Wolf Spirit chat room called Mellow Hello, and I have to say Mellow Hello because I like that. So, generally, if you're asking questions, and you're putting it in a chat room, if you put it in all caps, then my old eyes can pick them out and say, because, you know, you chat to each other in lowercase, but you talk to the guests and the hosts and the producers in all caps. Anyway, so Mellow Hello asked the question, how can you measure your own frequency? And how much variation in frequency can a person experience, stroke, what's the range a person operates within? So you're talking about what's your bandwidth, you know. So let's talk about how do we measure our own frequency. One of the first thing is, what is my own frequency? Now, when I measure rays, I in a way, I kind of zone into somebody's voice. And I go below the voice, go through the voice into the soul. But it's through my own soul connection and through my own monadic connection. It's like I'm not using my ego is completely out of the way. And I tune into the higher source energy that we all are. The best part of us. So basically it's kind of safe way of doing it rather than going through, trying to go through a personality barrier or anything like that. And then, you know, it's like going up to the blueprint zone where everybody's plan for their life is listed in their database. And you can just go and like, what's that? And what's this? And what's that? And then you can pick out the qualities, according. And it's very much like, color, being able to see a color associated with a person, you know. You could even take it so that, you know, such and such, let's pick out a name, Lauren. Lauren is a person who I associate a certain kind of apple in France with in the autumn.
My name is Lauren.
Is it? Oh.
I go by Larry, but my name is Laurent.
Okay, that's where I put it. Anyway, so we have, okay, so let's take a guy called Larry, and we associate with him a particular color of an apple that occurs, you know, like in a particular part. What that is a frequency, you see, and you're associating that frequency with a characteristic. And these characteristics will work no matter what octave you're working in, and that's what the rays are. So basically every color has a character, has a characteristic. And I suppose what I'm talking about is like I'm working with unseen colors that can be felt but not seen. But it's still experienced in a similar kind of way. It's a bit like a blind person reading Braille. Can't read the words, but understands that that's the representation of what those words represent, the symbols that they represent, you know, to go back to the same symbols. And that's essentially what going up to the soul level is and to the monad level, because we're all a representation of symbols. So we've got a life purpose or a kind of over and above that, you know, more than the life purpose, but the purpose of your lifetimes, they all have a particular focus. And if you were to be able to step back, as if you were to look back over your own life, but then look back over your own lifetimes and see where they were all leading and what the whole kind of message of the whole thing is in the first place. So all of that can be gleaned from understanding the significance of specific frequencies. It's like being able to apply a specific shade of color to a painting to know that it would produce a particular emotional effect. Wow. Did that make sense, or was I just ranting about stuff?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. In fact, when you talk about names, it reminded me of something my mother said. My mother was she retired at 28 years of teaching, and she said after 28 years of teaching, she knew certain names had certain personality types attached to them. I had a little brother named Lance, and she said every single Lance she taught over those 28 years was the same basic personality type. And I had another brother named Scott, and she said every single Scott she taught was the same basic personality type. And she learned to type personalities by the name. When the kid came in the room and said, "Hi, my name's Joe." Okay, I know this was going to be trouble.
That's funny. That's funny. I had a song once. I called it "Don't Call Your Dog Trouble."
Right.
Because you're asking for it, aren't you? Yeah. So,
right. So name yourself. That's it.
So indeed, that your specific frequency will actually emanate in every direction, and you just can't see it, or you're not perceiving it. So, for instance, you chose a specific chat room name. Now, you may think, personally, that that was a completely arbitrary thing, a totally random thing. But it's only random according to your character, and your character has a particular randomness about it that would produce the idea that it would be funny stroke appropriate.
Well, my name, Practical Madman, came about a different way. I chose that name long before I ever got on the internet, because I am a practical madman. That's who I am. I'm a madman as to the rest of the world. The rest of the world judges me as mad because I go against the grain, and I'm practical because I go against the grain, looking for practicality. And I was given that name by my wife 12 years ago because she recognized me for who I was, and she gave me that name long before I got onto the internet and woke up and everything else. So I am the practical madman. That's who I am.
So you could have a strapline like, "There's madness in my method and method in my madness."
Exactly. Practical method.
Meanwhile, so that's your frequency, you know?
That is.
And there is a frequency band that is associated with those. And our personality, our soul, our spirit, they all live in different parts of a bandwidth. You know, it's a bit like, that's cool. The rainbow is if you take a prism and you shine white light in it, it splits into seven different colors. But it's more than just seven different colors. It's seven infinite numbers of shades of those varying between the different colors, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So everybody's got their specific frequency and their specific color. And that gives them a character. And the character is expressed in the name, in the face, in the mannerisms, in the everything about them, in the DNA. You know, you'd see all these characters would express. That's what I mean by expression. The characteristics express out you. You know, little MOs, little things that you do. The way, you know, you have a way.
Yeah, and our way then it emanates as much as a mile and a half, 2 miles from our physical center. Our wave is enormous.
Your wave got stretched out. I think you've gone beyond the event horizon there, Larry. We'll hope to get Larry back on. But yes, indeed. So what you're talking about, you know, everybody's got a frequency. Everybody's got their own pitch. You show it in your voice. Now, what Hijacker was talking about was my method of reading the rays, and the rays are essentially what I've been talking about, the quality of frequencies. The seven rays are like the, you know, seven groups, and that is how soul emanates, because we are light. We are sound in light and light in sound, if you can understand what that means. Sound expressed as light, light expressed as sound. Here's an example of light expressed as sound. If I were to take a laser beam, as you do, and I have a little shutter, for instance, and I can put the shutter down in front of my laser beam and shine it across to a little receiver on the other side, then I can like make smoke signals or like Morse code and things like that. And so that's sending, code by light. I can use a computer to increase that, frequency and, send a vast amount of data across that light beam. And, laser communication is something that's been used in many ways. Satellite security things connect using that. Thing is, it's only line of sight because, you know, you can, the earth is curved and
fiber optic.
Yeah, there's hills in the way, so you can use fiber optics, etc., as you say. But essentially, it's using sound as light and light as sound in the same way that the movements of our body, of our muscles, are controlled by a light frequency, which is, this is the 660 nanometer light frequency, which is like, it's the red light that, you know, when you shine a torch through your hand and you can see this red light, that's the frequency. And it penetrates right through your body. It's quite, you know, if you have one, a 660 nanometer torch and you stick it on your hand, you see right through your hand, because it's all focused on that frequency band.
Right.
So it's quite cool. It's, you can see right in, you know, it's the same. And, in fact, that would be really nice if you could have a 660 nanometer light, board, you know, an array that, you could lie on like a sunbed. It would be really good because that would, it basically, it's part of the, this, how the muscle, brain, nerve fiber network modulate. Okay, so it's like the fiber optic carrier frequency. Does that make sense? Am I talking rubbish?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I understand exactly where you go.
So. Good, good, good. So, you can then, you can heal people, and it's called photonic acupuncture. You can take this frequency, 660 nanometers, and put it on an acupuncture point, and you can pump light into the body, into the meridian system, because the meridian system is real, and it's an information highway that is incredibly fast.
I want one of those.
You can, it's very cheap. You know what I did? I got, you know what, a mag light. You know, that's a mini mag light. You take a mini mag light.
Uh-huh.
You go to, whatever the equivalent of Radio Shack is nowadays, or an electronics, supplier. You know, you can get hardware. Basically, you buy LEDs and they cost cents. I'm not talking, you can buy like that. You probably buy about three for the dollar. Not kidding. Really cheap. 660NM. That's nanometers, 660 nanometers. No, it's not evil. It's
okay,
very.
Okay, so you buy a 660 nanometer LED and change up the mag light for that?
Yeah, you can get one that is like the tiny size, that is the same size as a mag light bulb.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay, and that's for the, for the classic
one.
P bulb, you know, it's what they call it, a grain of rice bulb, I think it is. It's really
right.
Tiny, it's
like exactly
3 millimeters. And you can get, you know, get the highest MCD value. MCD is millicandles. So
okay.
If you, for photonic acupuncture, you really want around 16,000 MCD, which basically is 16 candle power. 16,000 millicandles, which is 16 candles. There's 16 candles up on my wall. Yeah. Anyway, so 16 candle power is the power that you need, the light emission of your LED, it's a frequency band of 660 nanometers, and then you can put that, and I tell you, vets have been using this for a long time on horses and dogs, and they have no placebo. You know, if they're in pain, they're going to be in pain, and you can use this to cut pain and do all sorts of things. I've been into this for years. It's amazing.
Well, my wife's got some bursitis in her hip, and I'm going to build one of these tomorrow. I'm going to go to Radio Shack and get some things. I'm going to build one because I want to do something to help her. I've talked to you before about pyramids and oracle and power, and I had Morgellons real bad, and I got rid of my Morgellons by putting pyramids under my bed and building a pyramid in the backyard with an Orgone pad that I sit on, an Orgone generator.
You're the sign guy, aren't you? You had all these signs and you stacked them up with blankets and you made an Orgone generator.
Yes.
Orgone
generator.
Awesome.
I made an Orgone generator and I put it under my pyramid. I cannot get my wife to sit in it because it's outside. I can't bring it in the house because it's too big. And so I got to find something to heal her. She's doing all kinds of herbal stuff and all, but she hasn't found any relief yet. And I'm going to build one. I'm going to Radio Shack tomorrow to get these parts. I'm going to build one. I've got a little bit of electronics experiment, so I'm going to build one. Thank you.
Excellent. So that's the frequency. The best thing is to pulse it, because what happens is, like all natural things, there's a kind of hysteresis or like a magnetization that it's only effective for a few microseconds and then it dies away. So the best thing is to pulse the light.
Any recommended frequency? I could build a 555 timer and pulse it whatever way.
Well, there you go. If you can get something that you can set and really, maybe you can attach a frequency meter to it. So you can
set. You can build a 555 timer to any time, any frequency you want and make it active as an on off switch.
Well, there you go. If you can make one of those, you were well on the way as making a light sound healer, which I've always wanted to have, right? So if you can build one, that would be absolutely awesome. And because I invented it years ago, but I've not got the technical know-how, or haven't had the time to do it. So, yeah, also basically, if you can set frequencies, then you can read a person's frequency using spectral analysis of the voice. Okay, does that make sense? I've spoken about it before, but basically you can get software that is open source or, you know, torrent or whatever, that has the ability to break down the frequency content of your voice, and it's what we call a voice print. And you can see exactly how much you'll get a series of peaks and troughs, and where you're afflicted, you'll often find a strong peak or a strong trough, and it will occur in subsequent octaves as well. That's another sign, a telltale sign that's where the issue is lying, because you'll see it repeated up in octaves above and below. And when you can determine that frequency, you can then take it down and make it into, well, basically you can then program that frequency. If it's an excess, you don't want to. All right, so let's just take a thing, and let's say just purely a number out of the top of my head that the issue is registering at say 76 cycles, right? And what you see is you'll see a peak of 76, and that's the frequency that is irritating everything. So what you need to do is to bring it down. You need to give it the reciprocal frequency. And this is something I haven't spoken about quite yet, but like, let's talk about it. This is the anti-noise And it's the antidote frequency of whatever is bothering. So, for instance, and this is all right. So, musicians among us will recognize this delightful little frequency as the tritone. It is also known as the flattened fifth, or also known as down, 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 the devil's interval. The devil's interval was called the devil's interval by the Catholic Church, so we just need to ignore that.
Right. If the Catholic Church calls it the devil, that means we need to pay attention to it.
That's right. So, there we go. Now, this works out in reality because I've had her on the show. Her name is Shari Edwards. You can go to wowwowwow.everbeyondradio.com and look in my archives. And
I was trying to think of her name. I'm glad you had her on because I knew exactly what you were talking about. Shari Edwards.
Okay. Shari Edwards. I really need to. I need help tagging all my archives. I've got thousands of them now, and they're all untagged. You know, they just got a name or something, but they're all dated. The one thing that I have done is I dated them, so at least you know when they were made. I don't know what's in them, but we know when they were made. And I'm wanting to be able to make a database to tag them, and so maybe I'll employ a few listeners to help me do this. However, Shari Edwards has proven that you can take a frequency analysis software, analyze the voice as spoken, and it will reveal certain tensions. Or lack, slack, perhaps, in certain frequency bands. And they have a direct relationship with certain symptoms or illnesses that they may be going through. That also works the other way, is that certain frequency will be a signature for certain conditions or certain chemicals. What's interesting is that THC and progesterone have the same audio, have the same frequency signature. That's a very interesting thing. So it is a feminizing principle.
Yeah, another thing, JP, the Israelis, they've developed voice recognition type of programs where you can just sit down and they can interview you, and just based off the frequencies of your voice and the patterns, they can tell when you lie and when you don't.
I can tell you now. I can tell you how to recognize if somebody's lying, because I asked Shari this. I ask her these questions because they're interesting questions and they're very pertinent, because they relate to us and what's going on for us and how we can get out of the position that we're in. And we need tools to recognize when you're looking at a shill and when you're not looking at a shill, and when somebody's telling you the truth or when somebody's lying to you. And understanding what the game is will very much help with being able to play it, doesn't it? So,
well, JP, this must be a wonderland to you, radio, just to hear all these different voices and frequencies and define the liars and the shills and just tune into somebody and within just a couple of minutes know what the score is. No wonder you got a radio program, JP.
We need tools, Hijacker, and I hope to be able to be offering people tools. They're like, I'm completely open source. Anybody can do what I do. You just have to tune in, and humans know how to tune in. And when humans can tune in, then marvelous things start happening because, you know, they're tuning in, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be tuning in and, reflecting in this way. So let me just talk about lies, or let me talk about truth. When somebody is speaking the truth, this is according to Shari's, research, their voice contains two frequencies that are characterized in our musical scale as E and B flat. Those of you of a musical bent will recognize E and B flat as being two notes that you don't want in the same song. In general.
Right.
Unless you're playing heavy metal or you're Gustav Holst and you're playing the classic Mars, of the planet suite. And then there's a... And that is a compression. Because you're going from the fifth, which is a nice harmonic thing, down into the flattened fifth, which is, well, basically, it's the opposite. And the next time we hear this in our musical history, we're listening to Purple Haze. That beginning of Purple Haze is E and B flat. And interestingly, he was giving the key to the truth. Because if you're telling the truth, then E and B flat are both evident in your voice. And what we're probably talking about is cognitive resonance. Because, strangely enough, like these strange opposites, cosmic cognitive resonance registers as a tritone. It registers as E and B flat. It registers as a musical discord, which is a very interesting thing. And it's a bit like the difference between chocolate and broccoli. You know, chocolate is really nice, but it's bad for you. Broccoli is not so nice, but it's good for you. Chocolate tastes nice. Broccoli doesn't taste so nice. So one of them is kind of natural. One of them is slightly artificial and draws you away from what is good for you. Is that making sense? The kind of, you know, 4-3-2 music is more like broccoli. It might not sound so sweet, but it might be better for you.
Jackie. Well, I've got something here, JP, and this is something I just learned, and I forgot where I found it on the net, but the Earth seems to have a frequency too. And what these people have done is they say if you walk around barefoot, that grounds you to the Earth. They say if you take a grounding wire and run it from the Earth, actually into your bed or your mattress, it does something. They've taken grounding wires and they've taken plants, other words, seedlings that they plant the seeds. And in one seed bed, they took the wire, they put it in the earth, and they put it directly into the seed bed where the seeds were at. So that soil where those seeds were germinating would be grounded. And then they took another plat of seeds and they set it on a table to where it wasn't near or wasn't grounded on the earth. And night and day, absolutely unbelievable. There's an astronaut. It's the one astronaut that believes in aliens. I forgot what his name is.
Mitchell.
Mitchell, right. Look up his name on YouTube and something about grounding wire to the earth. And absolutely unbelievable. People say they've been healed. And that.
Oh, yeah. I heard a story, Jack. There's a machine which is made in Russia, because they take this stuff seriously, right? And all of this stuff that I've been talking about, you know, etheric body, mental body, they take it really seriously, and they've got machines that measure this stuff, right? And they use it on their athletes and then their soldiers, you know? And so it's really like, you know, it's grounded. It's not airy fairy fluffy. Oh, I can see your energy is a bit low. No. It's very much like you're, you know, on your third etheric body, on the fifth chakra, you've got, you know, stuff like that. So what do they do? So they take an athlete and they, you know, they measure the etheric body and they look at the mental body and all these things. And they see where it's out of balance. And you know what they do? They say, go outside, take off your shoes, stand on the ground for everybody. Cause it's all
out of control. To do that, I finally got her to give us stand outside the other day with her feet shoes off, and she got bit by a couple of mosquitoes, and she said, I'm never doing that again. I can't get it to do that. I'm going to run a grounding wire and put it into the ground and hand it to her in her chair so she could sit there and hold on to it, the ground.
Larry?
I firmly believe in grounding.
Here's the thing. If you ground rod your bed, you could get a piece of chicken wire and lay it under your mattress. Are you in a wooden or a metal bed?
Metal bed.
Well, try.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ground her bed.
See what happens.
I will do that.
I mean, there are other things.
Sorry. JP, I wanted to ask you, are they worried the reason why they're dumping so many chemicals and chemtrails in the sky and the food, are they worried that we're getting to the point, just like when Jesus, he spoke and he cursed that fig tree and it immediately shriveled up and died, or he spoke and he stopped the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Are they worried about one of us, like the next time some judge decides to bitch slap me over my driver's license, and they take my driver's license where I just speak and I just say, "Judge, you're blind," and all of a sudden they go blind? Are they worried about?
It's exactly what they worried about, hijacker. That's exactly what they worried about. They know the frequencies of the universe, and they know that their time is running out. The planet is going through a frequency change. The frequency in the past few years has gone from 7.8. It's close to 13 now. And the planet's changing. The people are changing. And if they do not get control over us before the frequency change, their game is over. And they know this beyond the shadow of now, as much as they know all the other math that they understand that they use against us. And that's exactly what they're worried about. If we reach our true potential, we will be able to just say, "You don't exist." And they don't exist. Once we reach our truest potential, we will be as Jesus. Jesus said, "These things that I do, you will do, and greater." He spoke the truth. Jesus absolutely said we can do anything he can do and more. And that's exactly what they're afraid of. That's exactly what the chemtrails are about. That's exactly what the fluoride in the water is about. That's exactly what the GMOs is about. They are burnt earth theory. If we can't win, we're taking it with us. So they are.
Yeah, JP, I know we only got a minute, and I just want to support you, JP. Do you still let people call you up and you do readings for like a pint of ale or whatever there in Britain? I mean, do you have a way people call you?
Yeah, it would be really nice. You can contact me through my everbeyondradio.com and JP@everbeyondradio.com. And, book a reading. I can tell you stuff about yourself that you didn't realize about yourself. And I can tell you what's some of the points that you don't often recognize that are your best qualities that can be capitalized on.
JP did a reading of me. Yeah, JP did a reading of me. And, he literally blew my mind away. He said things that there's just no way. And he did it all through me just speaking to him on the phone, and he listened, and he tagged all my different rays, and it's just uncanny, even who I married, and I just like for a Christian, for a fundamentalist Christian, it was freak out time that I came face to face with one of these New Agers that actually, you know, it wasn't just a bunch of poppycock. I mean, it was like, wow. So he can really do the reading of your voice. I'll testify to that. JP, go ahead.
So it is about frequency. And frequency, like words, are symbols. And they have meaning. And meaning is quality. Just like the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. There is information in frequency. There is information carried at all levels. Everything is coded within coding within coding. It's coiled within coils within coils, wheels within wheels. When we say things, we think we're just talking. There is much more information that we're giving out. And if you were to be able to listen very carefully to everybody and know what you're listening for, you can hear their intent, their soul, their desires, their needs. Most people are very plain when it comes to that. You know, that comes very strongly across, what people need. And so we are able to serve the need because people express their needs very readily. And I think that's one of the things that we do, and that's how we transform energy, and that's how we become the human being. We change hue. You know, especially us Western folk. When we're jealous, we're green. When we're cold, we're blue. When we're angry, we're red. You know, we're the colored folk. Anyway, my rainbow brothers and sisters, bless everybody. Thank you very much for listening to tonight's journeys. Stay on frequency. Get in touch with 54, with 108, with 216, with 432. Get in touch with your light body, vibrating at 660 nanometers. Route 660. Where's that thing? Anyway, so tonight, thank you very much, Larry, for joining me, and thanks very much for Hijacker. He's jacked off. No, that's wrong. He's left the call. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back. I'll be back on Sunday. I don't know if I've got a guest lined up yet. Quite interesting. It'd be interesting to hear what anybody has to say about any of the guests that I've had recently. So we've got. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, Katie.
I've got John B. Wells on next Sunday on Ever Beyond. That should be quite interesting. John B. Wells, the guy with the voice. He's got a pure radio voice. Caravan to Midnight. What's that, Larry?
I said thank you very much. You always put on a good show, and call in when you touch a nerve.
Bless your heart.
Could you give out your contact info one more time?
JP at everbeyondradio.com.
Everbeyondradio.com, okay.
Ever Beyond Radio.
Radio. Okay, thank you.
Radio.